What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Isn't this so, Cowboys? It's like there's a playbook, and Jerry just keeps running the same plays over and over again. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. The latest, Pearl, is Jerry Jones kind of dragging his feet on making a decision about Mike McCarthy. We find out yesterday after the show that they're parting ways.
Yeah.
You had 5 years of this guy in your building, but okay. You needed this week to talk about the future of the offense. Like, I don't understand what took so long there. According to the insiders, they didn't even talk actually about a new contract. Mm-hmm. It was just about unpacking the whole season, which, I mean, again, why? Like, why after 5 years of Mike McCarthy, the ups and downs of Mike McCarthy, you've seen him with Dak healthy, with Dak hurt, with a good defense, with a bad defense, winning playoff games, losing playoff games, yet you needed this extra 7 days because you're trying to get every last little bit out of McCarthy. You blocked him from interviewing with the Bears, which he can now do. But to me, this whole thing gets started off like on a wrong foot. And then what does Jerry do to save the whole thing or to change the conversation? Oh, well, Deion Sanders. Here's a shiny thing. Here's this, you know, I'm going to distract everybody from the fact that we totally have no idea what we're doing. Or it appears like you have no idea what you're doing. And we're going to save it by giving you this other shiny object. Oh, Deion Sanders may be interested. He's our top candidate.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. But, like, who cares if they wait on those? There's only been one coach hired. So why can't... I don't totally understand, like, what they're too late to get to Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson's not going to be available again probably till the Super Bowl.
No, so, he literally... They can't talk to him now until after the Lions season
nobody's
is over.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone's hiring Ben Johnson right now. So he's going to be there for the Cowboys if they want him.
Maybe.
Not if they want him, if he wants them. But I'm not sure, like, what are the real-world implications of this? And also, I kind of think Jerry probably might want somebody. He might not have wanted to get into this whole coaching carousel thing. He might like that some of these guys get hired so he doesn't have the pressure to hire them. Maybe he doesn't want to have to look at a Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn because he wants his guy.
Okay, so right now we got the short list of at least what some people and the insiders are saying, which is Deion Sanders, and Deion confirmed that they did have a conversation yesterday. So either that's an outright circus, or maybe somehow Deion can take some of the magic coming off of a 9-win season in Colorado and translate that to the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, he was a former player who has had success at the college level already. So okay. There's obviously a logic there.
I'm not crushing it. I think that there's a world where this can work. There's also a world where this becomes just an outright
It does seem like a lot of hype. I know what you mean.
Something like where it's more about hype than it is about wins,
of
which
course.
Dallas Cowboy fans will be like, oh, we've seen this before, which again, I'd say the same playbook. But then there's another part of this where you have to feel just a bit exhausted by the whole thing when Jason Witten's name comes up too. Like, what are we doing here?
I hear what you're saying, but it's not obviously not a huge surprise. That's the other thing. Like, why they don't have to rush to get Jason Witten in the building. They can interview him anytime they want.
Yeah, but why is Jason Witten a candidate? At least Deion has been coaching.
Witten's been coaching high school, right? And he's been killing it.
Great. That's what I was told about Jeff Saturday. Saturday was coaching high school.
Witten, I think, is like high school coach of the year. Like, I think he's had some success.
Do you think you can go from high school coach to NFL coach?
I mean, Jason Witten, not normally, but Jason Witten had a 20-year career. It's unorthodox, but, I mean, Josh McCown almost directly became a coach with no coaching experience. It's not in the NBA, it happens every day. I mean, guys are 32 years old and put in that chair. I don't think Jason Witten is like... It's outside the box, but it's certainly, would you be shocked? No. And he has been coaching a little bit.
Okay. here's where I'd give Deion the nod over Jason Witten. At least Deion is putting together staffs staffs.
Deion would be a much more sensible candidate. I agree.
Yeah, bring Pat Shurmur with you, who has NFL experience. Giants fans, close your ears, but Pat Shurmur does have experience as being a good offensive coordinator. You know, bring with you Warren Sapp. I don't know. I didn't think that was going to work at Colorado, but I guess it does. Bring your staff. I just think this was not like, maybe the news about moving on from McCarthy was a bit welcome by Dallas Cowboy fans just to shake things up. But I don't get the sense anyone's too thrilled about Deion.
Well, also, I think one more name, by the way, if he really wants Kellen Moore, I think it actually works out great for Jerry Jones that he doesn't have to look at how many people, like the Bears are interviewing, what, 45 candidates? Mm-hmm. Everybody's interviewing everybody. Like, maybe he doesn't want to have the pressure to hire an Aaron Glenn or a Ben Johnson. Maybe he wants his guy. Maybe he wants all those guys to get jobs so he can just pluck Kellen Moore off the Eagles.
Are you trying to make like the Dallas Cowboy fans feel better or worse?
Well, I mean, it is what it is. I'm just saying, like, I don't think this was... I don't think Jerry costs the team by waiting on Mike McCarthy because I don't think Jerry wants to hire the same people that everyone else does. I think Jerry wants his guy, and I don't think, oh, man, we didn't get to interview Joe Brady. What a shame. I don't think it's like that with Jerry. I think I get a sense that he is probably focused on somebody.
Okay. I mean, Mike McCarthy was not an outside-the-box candidate, though. Like, Mike McCarthy was presumably the safe candidate. He was, you know, a Super Bowl-winning head coach who had taken a year off, who had said he had, like, learn the ways of analytics, and he was ready to go and refresh. Like, that was as middle of the road as possible. So now he's going to go outside the box?
Well, Kellen Moore is not super outside the box.
Just saying that he doesn't want to interview the same guys who are getting...
Yeah, well, I mean, there's going to be some pressure to hire Ben Johnson, and he might not want that, right? Or at least to offer Ben Johnson. I don't know if Ben Johnson says that. Like, you know how Jerry is not about getting the best football coach. It's about getting the guy he likes. He's all of McCarthy. Why did he hire McCarthy?
He thought he could win a Super Bowl.
No, because he had that sleepover.
All right.
Jerry, and like, look at, like, after Bill Parcells, I think Jerry said, I want coaches that I like. I think he really is a relationship guy, and I think that's much more important to him than, you know, coldly looking at wins and losses. The one name I think that you say Deion, what about Belichick? Like, Belichick should have been the name. Obviously, if the fans could vote, I'm sure they would have put Bill Belichick in. Okay. Right? Like, who would not want them there? But Jerry's not going to, even if he said he was interested, I don't think he was ever going to do that.
Okay, so it's funny you bring up Belichick. So we had a couple different Belichick things that happened yesterday. First was a report. It wasn't a direct quote, but it was a report from the commissioner of the ACC, his name is Jim Phillips, okay? The commissioner of the ACC is quietly concerned that Bill Belichick is going to leave North Carolina before the season starts. So there's an idea that he could embarrass North Carolina and go back to the NFL.
Right.
Then we got a second report yesterday that in some kind of alternate universe, if Belichick didn't have a job and if the Cowboys, you know, had decided earlier on the fate of McCarthy, that Belichick and the Cowboys would have been a good fit. What are we supposed to do with that information? So, like, what? Belichick does have a job. They have moved on from McCarthy. I didn't understand that. If you really wanted Belichick, you get rid of McCarthy and you bring Belichick in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he did. Can't you see Jerry Jones saying, like, wow, if I bring in Bill Belichick, it's going to be all about Bill Belichick. I don't want to do that. I think that's ultimately why they didn't, during the season, reach out to his people.
Yeah, well, that's just a shame for Cowboy fans because it's one thing if it's Belichick, but that's the philosophy from here on out. It's not who's the best candidate. It's who's the one who's going to placate Jerry's ego or who's the one who's going to not take up too much shine. Well, I got news for you. Deion Sanders is going to take a lot of shine away from Jerry if they go down this road, which they looks like they're doing. Deion is the only one who can take the spotlight away from Jerry.
But the calculus is very different with Deion. First of all, Jerry loves talking about how they won in the 90s, and Deion was part of that. So it's kind of a throwback to when Jerry signed Deion. So he's kind of responsible for Deion's success in his mind. Also, Deion is not going to be the get his hands into the personnel GM. So Jerry, like Dion is going to do the Dion thing and it's compartmentalized. Like Bill Parcells comes in, he wants to shop for the groceries and whatever. He's going to pick all the players. He's going to do everything. Dion is clearly not going to do everything. Like Dion doesn't have, there's not enough time in the week for Dion to do, you know, he does like, what, 27 hours of media? Like
he's got a TV show.
He's got like, there's no way, like, I think Jerry would still get a lot of football credit if they won because everyone knows Dion is not a micromanager.
Okay, so we're talking about Deion Sanders, the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys now have an opening for their head coach. Now, here's the funny thing, though. You're saying that Dion wants no say over personnel except for the most important position on the field, which is he wants to coach his son. He wants to coach Shador. I don't know how Shador could find his way to the Cowboys unless the Sanders family wants to pull off the ultimate power play, even something bigger than what the Mannings pulled off with Eli.
Or Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant found himself down to 13.
Yeah, you know, Kobe, that was a big one. And Arm Tellem basically told every team, don't draft him or he's not coming.
Yeah, and that's amazing when you look back on that because Kobe was... He was great, and he was an all-time prospect, but he wasn't LeBron.
He was out of high school. Well, yeah, I mean, LeBron in that way, but...
No, I mean, like, he wasn't, like, as quite as good as LeBron was in high school. Is that fair to say? Like, he was really, really good, one of the great prospects of all time, but he had a lot of guts to do that. And I don't know if Deion can figure this out, and that's why I think if I had to do a show bet right now, I would bet you confidently that he goes back to Colorado because I don't think he's going to be able to coach his son. And he did say, what was the tweet in the middle of the night that Adam Schefter put out that I called Deion and Deion said I love Colorado? Could you read that as a thanks but no thanks?
Well, but that's not all that tweet said.
So the tweet was... To hear from Jerry Jones is truly delightful.
Yeah, it's kind of all that said. There wasn't really. I thought he was trying to close off the reports to some extent.
Wait, hold on. But EJ was just about to read it.
Yeah, sorry. I was just saying. So it says, to hear from Jerry Jones is truly delightful and it's intriguing. I love Jerry and believe in Jerry. After you hang up and process it and think about it, it's intriguing. But I love Boulder and everything there is about our team, the coaches, our student body, and the community.
There's two ways to read that. One is he kind of saved it, like, oh, but this is all very intriguing, but I do love Colorado, which you would say for a couple reasons. One, you don't want people negative recruiting against you on the college trail. And two, you want to maintain a little bit of leverage.
That's true. Or you could also read it as I'm happy here. I mean, there are a lot of attractive things at Colorado for him right now.
Yeah, but the two most attractive things about Colorado, I think, just walked out the door, which is Shador and Travis Hunter.
Yes, I hear what you're saying, but I think it's going to be a little easier for him to win at Colorado than it would with the Cowboys.
That's...
Also, too...
Is that true?
I mean, they got... He's really killing it right now because they got that left tackle came in who was the top recruit, and we're like, well, he's great. I mean, he was fantastic. They got two amazing quarterback guys who came in. Caden Sullivan is probably going to be an NFL guy, and Juju Lewis is definitely an NFL guy. So I don't know. I feel like he seems to have a succession plan for Travis Hunter and Shador. Maybe I'm being way over-optimistic. The other thing, too, is college football, there's a lot of parity. Like, there's a lot of opportunity. The Cowboys are stuck in a lot of bad personnel situations. They have a very expensive quarterback. They have a star cornerback who's making a lot of money who's very hurt. They have one up-and-coming superstar in defense who's very, very hurt. And then they have to pay Micah Parsons, and they cannot, for the life of them, find a second receiver. Now, what are they going to do in the draft? I already told you what's happening there.
The Ashton Jenny.
Yeah, they're going to draft a running back, which is good. But it's I just don't think, like, Deion, if he's very analytical about that, it's going to be like, wow, I don't know if I can win here.
855-212-4227. Yeah, you had Troy Aikman last night on Monday Night Football Countdown saying that he doesn't think the Dallas Cowboys head coaching job is as coveted as people may think, which is a pretty big admission from someone who, you know, at times waves the pom-poms for Dallas. And... Deion's his former teammate. It would seem pretty coveted, I think, if Deion went there. No?
What do you mean coveted?
Like, that returns a little glamour. I mean, not that Mike McCarthy was a Super Bowl winning head coach. There's nothing glamorous about his personality, but he did have gravitas.
No, but it's not about the the glamour or the glitz. It's about the control. He's saying, like, Jerry is going to butt his head into this, and it's going to be an impossible job to coach. Like, Ben Johnson's not going to want that because he's not going to be able to build a team he wants. I think that was his point, right? That Jerry's too interventionist?
That's part of it, but I
think that's it. I don't think there's another part. What's the other part?
Well, I think the other part is, you know, I think that the shine has come off the star. Mm. And I think we see that in some of the callers who call us, who are Cowboy fans, who are kind of feel done. They feel over. They feel, I don't know, just uninspired.
But I don't think that's what Aikman was getting at. Troy Aikman, the Cowboys are a big deal. I think it was, you can't win here. Like, Mike McCarthy is a good coach, but when Jerry Jones says, I'm going to go all in, and then you don't get me the players, what's he supposed to do? There's like, Mike McCarthy had no prayer here.
I think there's a reality that the reason why I don't think this is a very attractive job, because when you have this ownership in this front office situation, you're always going to be a day late and a dollar short.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be signing Dak Prescott at the very last minute, screwing up your cap situation. You'll be signing CeeDee Lamb to the last ditch effort until you get it, sorry, cap situation gets screwed up. Mike McCarthy, you don't fire him until his contract expires. So now, if the Lions keep winning, they cannot talk to anybody on the Lions staff. If any of these guys that are coveted, potentially, that are in the playoffs, because they missed this first window because they had McCarthy under contract, they've now lost out on talking to these guys. Now, maybe these guys will say, hey, it's the Cowboys, I'll wait. But to me, like, if I was Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn or anybody in the playoffs looking at the team, I'd say, why would I want to go to that? Like, to me, this is a front office that's not cutting edge.
It's reactive, it's not reactive. Proactive.
It's not proactive. It's to me, if you go there, you're going to be playing behind the eight ball. And you guys do that with the weight of the world on
your
shoulders.
Hold on, though. The one counter to that is you might get a little more time than other places. Like, Jerry's loyal. Mike McCarthy got 5 years. Nowadays, 5 years is kind of a long time for a head coach. You're really winning right away, the Mike Tomlins, Andy Reid's, John Harbaugh's, like, that's the exception.
But I don't know what it's like for the coaches, but we've seen players who are still on the team and players who have left who have said it is miserable here.
Wow.
Like, yes, we've won, and yes, we've been a team in the spotlight, but these tours, all the attention, the pressure, like, to do all this and put up with all this crap, and then when you lose, become like the national headline.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like it wears on you. I know no coaches were in those articles that came out this year, so I don't know if coaches feel that way. But I would imagine it would have trickled down to them as well. Like, you got to deal with all this crap, and then also have the weight of the world of having to win a Super Bowl.
Well, to be honest, you're making a case for Dion, because I think Dion doesn't feel that same kind of pressure. He is, you know, this Hall of Fame resume that he can always fall back on. No matter what happens, he was one of the greatest players ever.
I guess my problem with Dion, though, is I feel like it would be them kind of leaning into the worst thing about the Dallas Cowboys.
The nostalgia?
That it's all sizzle and no steak. That it's all, like, glam. Like, Dion would probably have no problem with tours coming through his practices, with having the people come into his meeting. Like, he would probably be actually great at that. I think that does not help you win football games. And the players have clearly felt like that has been a distraction. To me, they'd be leaning into the worst things about the Dallas Cowboy brand, the Dallas Cowboy organization. And I think they'd be going backwards instead of forwards.
Jerry doesn't want to hire Ben Johnson. He doesn't want any of that stuff. He wants to hire Chan Gailing and Dave Campo and Wade Phillips. Like, he wants low-end hires. That is his natural thing. Like, Mike McCarthy was not hot when he hired him. Like, Mike McCarthy was, when you looked up retread in the dictionary, Mike McCarthy's face was there. Like, he does not like the sizzle hire. Because he did it with Parcells, and I just think it really burned him. I don't know why. It's just like, you always hear that out of Dallas. Like, he hated it so much that he's like, never again. He does not want the hot guy. So he wants to wait and get some like, lesser guy.
The other part, too, sorry, I didn't mean to step on you there, is that I think Jerry, they also don't want to spend a lot. I don't think they want to spend.
Yeah. Well, that's curious.
Is $12 million.
Is that why they hired Chan Gailey and Dave Campo back in the day?
I don't know if that necessarily is the reason, but it could be a reason before Belichick got maybe desperate for an NFL job. Belichick was making reportedly like $20 million a year.
Well, they have the richest franchise in all of sports. I don't get it. Why would he cheap out on these small things? I keep hearing that, but I don't understand it.
I don't know. I mean, there was a report that Ben Johnson was holding out for like $15 million a year. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, he'll get that easy.
855-212-4227. I do not see Ben Johnson as a sure thing. I know everyone else is penciling him in for the Hall of Fame. I don't see it. 855-212-4227. Okay, we have a lot more to do, including the latest from last night. Vikings lay an egg. They're out of the playoffs. The future for Sam Darnold. And do the Rams have a shot against Perloff's Eagles? We tackle all of that next. You want to call in about the Cowboys? Go ahead. 855-212-4227. LiAngelo's world. We're all living in it. LiAngelo Ball signed to Def Jam. $13 million. And his life rights, I think.
$8 million guaranteed.
Good for him, Reba.
That's running back money.
Never lost.
And LeVar somewhere chuckles. Andrew Bogish has headlines for us on a very busy Tuesday. What's up?
It has been the topic of the morning. Did Sam Darnold's remarkable resurgence disappear in just over a week? The Lions befuddling him in the regular season finale with the NFC's top seed on the line, and then the Rams beat him up last night in the wild card game.
Shotgun snap, Darnold on second down and 10. Looking left all the way, has to pull it down. He's thrown down at the 10. The Los Angeles Rams extend their postseason record as Dez Juan Johnson has the ninth of the night.
I think they tackled him one more time on the way to the bus last night. J.B. Long, Rams Radio, 9 sacks, the most in Rams postseason history. They tie the all-time postseason mark. Those 9 sacks costing Minnesota 82 yards. Darnold fumbled on one of them. Jared Verse picked it up and ran 57 yards for a touchdown as L.A. built a 24-3 halftime lead. Not a bad start, says Matthew Stafford.
To be able to come out and play really a complete game, you know, offense, you know, we did a nice job there early in the game, kind of getting the lead, and then our defense just went crazy and was attacking the quarterback, making big plays, scoring on defense, doing a great job of getting us the ball back.
Stafford threw for 209 and 2 scores. He and the Rams winning 27-9 in Arizona and now get to play in Philadelphia Sunday afternoon. Now to recap, Jerry Jones and Deion Sanders have discussed Mike McCarthy's old job. Deion said the Cowboys are intriguing, but he loves Colorado. Then apparently he said, I don't know, when asked what's next for him and Jerry. McCarthy, meanwhile, expected to get interest from the Bears and Saints, at least now that he's on the open market. And Bo Nix revealed yesterday he's been playing since late November with multiple small fractures in his back. Texas wideout Isaiah Bond declaring for the NFL draft, but Penn State running backs Catron Allen and Nick Singleton are returning to school. I was told they were back, but then the Pistons came to town.
Bounce pass, Hardaway passes it up to Beasley. Three more. Same basic spot, and it's 124-119.
Malik Beasley, 2 late threes to close out a 124-119 Pistons win at MSG. The Knicks have now lost 5 of 7. They're just 11 games over 500, 3 full games behind the Celtics for second in the East.
I hope you have a minor inconvenience today, but it ruins your entire day.
Hope you win the lottery and lose your ticket.
Play them if you want to.
EJ, this really is not directed at you. Because you're not the one screaming, we're back.
Well, that's why it's worse, because I feel like I'm being rather reasonable, and I still got to deal with this.
No, that's why I said they were back. That was a direct quote of Manny.
There are 3 people on Earth who care about a Knicks season in early January. Manny, EJ, and Tom Thibodeau.
Like, what's the difference?
Knicks fans are crazy.
Do they really get into like these regular season minutiae? But it's so irrelevant. It's so irrelevant. In fact, that's why people criticize Thibodeau, right?
I'm just telling you. I've lived this. I was born in it, molded by it. Like, this is every regular season game matters to Knicks fans. I don't ask you to go to Knicks Twitter, but if you go, you'll see people yelling fire Tibbs. It's crazy.
Because wow. Cade scored 32 last night.
Because the team looks tired and sluggish, and yeah, all the things you expect to hear from Knicks fans. About a Tom Thibodeau team in January. It's not surprising.
Isn't the whole world sick, though, right now? Like, yeah. Everyone's got the flu. Are we sure that not just half the Knicks don't have the flu? We found out that Minka Fitzpatrick had the flu.
Oh, really?
And Patrick Queen did, too. Patrick Queen had a terrible game, and then he had a flu. I felt kind of bad killing the Steelers' run defense.
I know. I think that's it. Now we found out also Bo Nix had back fractures. Like, sometimes these guys have reasons for why they don't play well.
And if I was one of them, I would tell everyone.
Yeah.
You would know if I was sick or hurt before the game.
Minka Fitzpatrick's got a pretty big contract, not to get thrown in the air like a child by Derrick Henry.
I just think something's going around.
Yeah, it's called...
You don't say.
It's called lack of good football. Whatever. Get out of here. I don't want to hear this flu crap. And by the way, the Knicks, you guys are all insane to care about. Like, none of the good teams care about what's happening now, including the Knicks should. This is stupid.
Just I live and die by
stupid.
Every whistle.
So stupid.
By every shoe squeak, I live and die by it.
He virtual Jalen Brunson traded jerseys with Manny, and Manny passed out.
That was crazy. Yeah, I saw that post.
Yeah, I did it on 2K. Yeah, we had a little jersey swap. It was the greatest moment of my life.
Wait, Manny, have you made a decision on Perloff's decent proposal? Mm. He offered you $40 for your Supersonics throwback hat that you're wearing today.
You see, here's the thing. I would seriously consider it if my brother had not left the tag on and I saw that it was the exact same price that Perloff is offering. Mm-hmm. Had he offered $15, $20 more, maybe. Also, it was a gift from my brother, so...
Okay, wait, but...
For 15 more bucks, you'd ignore the fact that it was a gift from your brother?
Yeah, probably.
I'm surprised the way you speak of your brother, you're not taking it for just $15.
Wait, hold on.
Just to spite your brother. You're selling it for cheap.
Perloff, yeah, well, basically, Manny's saying 55.
Well, I could just go online and get it for, I think I could get it for 40. I was actually thinking, I've already Googled Supersonics hats.
So basically, you were just trying to trade with Manny or buy Manny's hat to save on shipping?
Convenience.
All right. Well, I guess no deal?
55.
It's a pretty sweet hat.
Let me think about it. Yeah, I might do that. Let me get online here. I'm like Jerry Jones. I'm going to be cheap about this.
And you're going to wait a week.
Take it to the very end.
But then I wonder, every time I wear it, is everyone going to look at me and say, that's Manny's hat?
Yes.
I will.
Yep.
It's going to...
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking now I might buy my own Sonics hat.
Well, if it's the same one, we're still going to think you ripped off Manny.
True. It's funny, I have a Sonics hat that I've worn before. Now I feel like I got to wear it this week. Just give you guys all Sonics envy.
Sonics envy. All right, well, doesn't look like there's any deal going through.
All right. Thank you, Bogus. Our next guest I know is just as big a 90s NBA fan as you and I are, Maggie. I believe so. Probably was rooting for or against Sean Kemp in Seattle. For our purposes, he's also the host of the Doomsday Podcast. That's Matt Mosley, longtime Cowboys reporter, host ESPN Central. Matt, you love NBA from the 90s. I know that you and I are in sync on this one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was a Mavs fan, and the 90s, well, they were pretty miserable until a man named Dirk showed up very late in the 90s. But
wait, weren't you mixed into the
lost Detlef Schrempf to the Sonics, and Mavs were going through some rough things. They had Jim Jackson, Jamal Mashburn, and Jason Kidd, the three J's we thought would lead us to the promised land. And there became a fight over Tony Braxton.
Right, I was going to say, weren't you involved? I thought romantically you were still single at the time. Weren't you linked to Tony at that time? I seem to recall that.
I was a little young. I was a little young at the time. I may have still been in high school, but yeah, Tony was. She was certainly part of that whole scene. And Ross Perot Jr. was the owner of the Mavs back then, far different than Mark Cuban. Ross did not get as involved as Mark has.
You know, Matt, my best friend grew up in Dallas and said they used to see Ross Perot riding his horse around their neighborhood while she was going to high school at Ursuline Academy in Dallas. But thank you so much for joining us. We know that this is a really busy time, especially with the big double. It's kind of like double news yesterday. First, that Mike McCarthy is out. And then secondly, that Deion Sanders is a top candidate to take this job. Let's start with the Deion part of it. You know, what takes this, Matt, from intrigue and how both sides are intrigued by each other to possible? What takes it from theoretical to possible with Deion Sanders maybe becoming the next head coach of the Cowboys?
You know, I'm trying to think when it was. It might have been actually last season, when Deion was kind of blowing up at Colorado before. So two seasons ago, his first season at Colorado, I asked Jerry about him, and Jerry really lit up and just could not, you know, stop talking about how amazing he was and how much he meant to him and that kind of thing. Now, to me, this is a couple things. Jerry loves just the sound of this and how much fun this is to think about and the headlines that it draws. so it's kind of fun to talk about, but like I literally give it, I give it like a 5% chance of happening. Like it does not feel like a Jerry move, and he really craves people that have had NFL head coaching experience. And certainly Deion has not. The only time he's gone away from that in recent years is, you know, Garrett. And Garrett was a homegrown, much like, you know, Deion's part of the family, but not like Garrett. Garrett had, like, Garrett's dad was a scout for the organization. He'd been part of it for a long time. So I don't think this is going to happen, but he does love Deion and like what Deion brings in terms of, you know, just the eyeballs, the excitement, everything that he is. But I think deep down, Jerry knows he's not going to hire him as a head coach.
So the Cowboys sit at number 12 in the draft right now, Matt. Is there any chance that they hire Deion and could find a way to get Shedeur Sanders, or is that just impossible? And they also have Dak Prescott under contract. So is there any way that Deion could coach either him or Travis Hunter in Dallas?
No, I don't think the quarterback thing can happen because of Dak. And, you know, he's you're paying him $60 million a year. And basically it would alienate Dak if you went after Shedeur, and the whole thing would be, you know, that would become a mess. And, you know, the Travis Hunter is very interesting. You know, I don't know exactly where he'll go. You know, you guys on the, you got the Perloff big board, I'm sure, that you're looking at. I don't really have a, that's a more of a possibility than Shedeur. So I do not think Deion or Jerry would help manipulate that.
Matt Mosley is joining us. Doomsday Podcast, been covering the Cowboys for a long, long time and knows this organization inside and out. Now, Matt, putting the Deion stuff aside for a second, right? I thought the perfect candidate for the Dallas Cowboys for their head coach is actually Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn, Texas guy, played for the Cowboys. I think, you know, Jerry watched the Detroit Lions hand the Cowboys their worst home loss since 1988. And Aaron Glenn, you know, kind of befuddled Dak that day, totally got the best of McCarthy, you know, will be able to take concepts from the Lions offense because he's been in the building for so long. Like, there's a lot of good things about Aaron Glenn. Who do you think is the ideal candidate for the Cowboys if it's not Deion?
Well, I love Aaron, and Aaron did spend a little time with the Cowboys at the end of his playing career, and Aaron went to Texas A&M. So, yeah, you're right. There are some ties that Jerry would really appreciate, but again, he doesn't have the head coaching experience that others have, and so I don't think it'll be Aaron. I think Jerry, the one thing he mentioned to me last week after the Cowboys' final game against Washington, I said, do you have a list, you know, if this thing didn't work out with Mike? And he said, yeah, I do. And there's a couple of people on the list that have won Super Bowls. And that's what leads me to believe that I think John Gruden and Pete Carroll are both in play here. I think John's trying to get back in, and it might not look like it with all his Barstool stuff he's doing, but I really think he wants back in. And I think Jerry's the one guy that can make it happen, because while it was, you know, it was a very rough deal when he was fired from the Raiders and the NFL basically seemingly forced that, with some of those emails and things that came out and the controversy off the field, I think Jerry does not mind things like that. Like, Jerry would almost delight in making Roger Goodell uncomfortable, if that is the case. And so Gruden is in play, and I think Pete Carroll makes sense because Pete checks all the boxes, and Jerry, who's like 83 now, you know, he's not going to have that big of a problem hiring a 73-year-old where it may give other people pause. So I would put those two over – over Glenn. And then, you know, the thing about Detroit is that Jerry is enamored. That game you're referencing, Maggie, was the Dan Campbell came in and just like completely clowned on the Cowboys. And it really, Jerry both was humiliated, but he also, the showman in him kind of loved it. He kind of thought it was funny what Dan Campbell was doing. And Campbell, if you don't recall, you know, did some tricky, weird stuff with one of his eligible, you know, tight ends or whatever, to, because he'd been screwed over by call the year before. And so Jerry really wants Dan Campbell. Obviously he can't have him. So who in Jerry's mind is the closest to Campbell that he could get is Jason Witten. So I think what you're going to see here is, I don't think he can make Witten the head coach. I mean, that's too big of a jump from, you know, like a private high school in the Dallas area where he is winning state championships. And high school football is very big here, as you know. He can't do that. But I think he'll try to get Witten on this staff, whoever he brings in. And then I think Witten becomes the future head coach.
Ooh, I like that, Matt. Hey, real quick, we're running to a break. I want you to dismiss three offensive geniuses that have been linked in the past. Kellen Moore, Lincoln Riley, and Cliff Kingsbury, and maybe also Steve Sarkisian. What about a guy like that? Do they have any chance in this coaching hire?
I mean, I think he'd like to talk to Sark just to kind of pick his brain. So I don't know if Sark will do it or not, because, you know, he's doing really well at UT, and that's been a good fit. I think of all the people you said, Kellen Moore makes the most sense because he has the relationship with Dak. He's called plays here. I think they have respect for him. I think they just got to decide if he's the guy, you know, that can stand in front of the team, and I'm not totally sure about that, but I think of all those people you just mentioned, Kellen Moore would be way ahead of everybody else.
Matt, can't tell you how much we appreciate this. This is going to be fun times for you guys in Dallas. I thought Mike McCarthy was coming back, so I was a little bit stunned yesterday that they actually did part ways, and now the search for a new head coach is on. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Matt.
Appreciate that. You know, we didn't have enough time to get into the Belichick of it all. From Jordan Schultz yesterday that for what it's worth, Bill Belichick would have been interested in the Cowboys job, and it's believed that Dallas would have been interested in him had he known the position would become available. Mm. But, you know, I don't think Belichick was going to wait around for ifs.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Or Belichick screwed this whole thing up, and he didn't realize five teams would have made him an offer. It's possible that Belichick miscalculated it. I know he's a genius and all, but I do think he might have misread the market.
Possible, or he didn't want to be lumped in with interviews with Liam Cohen and Joe Brady and these guys who he probably thinks are, you know, beneath him and are not nearly as accomplished and didn't want to lose out to, you know, Cliff Kingsbury or something.
But he knows the game. He was once Liam Cohen himself. I mean, every young coach gets their first hire. But I think John Gruden of it all, I mean, like, geez Louise. Did he just say John Gruden? And Matt is not messing around. Did he just say Jerry Jones might hire John Gruden? We thought Dion was a lot going on. That's the most going on.
Yeah, let's unpack that. We got to take a quick break. Maggie and Perloff, the Dallas Cowboys looking for a head coach. We dive into the John Gruden aspect next. Welcome back. Dallas Cowboys head coaching search in full effect right now after Mike McCarthy was, I can't say let go, they just didn't give him a new contract yesterday, waiting till the full extent of his old contract ran out. Yeah. And we talked with Matt Mosley in the last segment. He's been covering the Cowboys for a long, long time. If you missed it, you can hit the rewind function on the Odyssey app. You can always download the Maggie and Perloff podcast. He thought John Gruden was a real candidate here.
Yeah.
So John Gruden checks the boxes of being a former head coach. being a former head coach.
Well, I mean,
won a Super Bowl, I guess, if that, it was a long time ago now, but he did win a Super Bowl.
Well, also, too, they probably run in the same circles. I mean, think about it. John Gruden got in trouble. because he was emailing with Bruce Allen, right? Like, there's definitely, like, there's a lot of history. I mean, why these guys all were a big part of the NFL from 1995 through 2010. They've probably been at, you know, 30 conventions together. Like, I think Jerry would be comfortable with John Gruden. Now, I don't think it'll happen because of John Gruden's lawsuit and what he did to cause that lawsuit. I still think he's toxic because he was linked to the Jets too. And the Jets then backed off that pretty quickly. I know Jerry has a lot of power, but to bring John Gruden back after what happened, to me, seems like a step too far. I just don't see it happening.
So the latest I could find about John Gruden's lawsuit, he's suing the NFL because he thinks that the commissioner's office leaked those emails where he was making racist and homophobic comments in order to embarrass him, right? So the latest I could see is that Gruden's going to get a full Nevada Supreme Court review of the lawsuit. That's the highest court, and we're going to see. I think this is going to happen sometime in the spring.
Well, I don't think it's the case. I think it's what caused the case.
No, of course.
Yeah, I think that's a real problem for a franchise to have to deal with those. When he gets hired, those emails are going to go into every story.
I get that. Yeah. I think that there's that part of it. So, yeah, that's going to be a tough sell.
That's the problem. I think it's too hard of a sell.
But to be honest, like, Gruden is back in our lives. Now, he got hired by Barstool Sports, which has maybe like a different type of, you know, they don't care at all about what the outside response would be. Like, they're kind of, they have this sort of like maverick renegade kind of thing. But the names that John Gruden called Roger Goodell in those emails, people thought was also, along with the racist and homophobic things, also was a big hangup. Like, Goodell himself was telling people, don't hire John Gruden. Jerry Jones would be the one guy who would give the proverbial stiff arm to Roger Goodell, and might even, as Matt said, kind of like the fact that it could irk the commissioner because Jerry and Roger Goodell have not seen eye to eye on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that part I like. That does make sense.
It's a revenge hire.
Right, but I think that Jerry and the Cowboys will be underestimating the public.
See,
the blowback. I just know what the stories would be like. Because a lot of people, everyone knows who the Cowboys are, and people vaguely remember John Gruden, but like, it's going to cross over to mainstream that the Cowboys are high in John Gruden. This is what he said. It'll be such a huge part of the hire. John Gruden, when he's in the media, they don't break. You know, he gets hired by Barstool. Like, that's not front page news, and those emails are not going to be there. Like, I think a lot of people forgot about that stuff, and it's going to come. It's going to come with Gruden, especially if he went to the Cowboys. Don't you think, like, the New York Times would lead with that, and the New York Post? Like,
I don't think that the Cowboys could care less what the New York Times are writing about, number one. And two, I think there's probably a large slice of people, and I'd be curious to know from you guys, how large do we think this slice of population is, who say it was his private emails. And what someone says in private is not the person they are in public. Now, I think that what you say in private kind of reveals who you are, the real you. But I think there's a lot of people who would say, well, that was really nobody's business. He never intended it to be public. And how could you judge him for a private correspondence when he was not in the league? He was a broadcaster at the time. Mm. He wasn't a coach at the time. And that everyone should be able to move on from that.
I don't think.
Or get a second chance. Yeah.
I think a large chunk of people are not going to dig their fingers into the story that much. They're going to say, oh, they hired John Gruden. Well, yeah, what's the deal with him? And then they read, oh, my God, he wrote that. I think a lot of people are going to have a problem with that. I don't think they're going to care. Private email, Goodell, that's all great. Like, I just think this could play out really badly because he's not that great a coach either. Like, might as well hire Pete Carroll and not have any of that headache.
You know, we usually reserve our poll questions for stuff that's kind of silly. Like, do you ever share bathing suits, or do singers in rock bands need to have a good voice and random stuff like that? But I'm kind of curious, EJ, if you put a poll up, would you have a problem with the Cowboys hiring John Gruden? I'm really curious what the results of that may be. I know Twitter's not real life. I get that.
But our audience is very sports heavy, too.
Like, right. So they'll know what's in those emails.
Yeah. But wait, I'm just saying, like, the casual audience might be reminded in a big way what's in those emails. Like, my wife will be like, wait, they hired this guy? She's not going to know any of the nuance.
Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you to Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Matt Mosley, who joined us. You guys, the weedos, the coffee drinkers, the callers, you're the best. See you tomorrow.